Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own.
Every single woman so far has answered the exact same way that you did. So if you want to just kind of jump into that and like maybe expand a little bit on how you would want the person you're interested in to actually present it to you.
Yeah. So I would say in this situation, I mean, and I felt like this for a lot of them, honesty just goes a long way and authenticity goes a long way. I just want you to bring yourself to the conversation. So I would rather you just be where you're at, even if you have to say, hey, this is really hard to communicate, but I need to communicate this. Preface it if you need to, but say, like, I'm having a hard day, and for whatever that reason is, like, oh, work was rough, or, man, this thing happened. Like, just be genuine and share. Like, I don't know. I think we complicate it, and I can understand if people maybe have had harmful experiences, and so maybe because of that, they're fearful to share. Maybe they've been vulnerable and it didn't go well, but the right person is going to appreciate vulnerability and honesty in that moment. So
amen. I wholeheartedly agree. You know, I've been like talking to some of the ladies about that, and you know, you can't have a relationship without being vulnerable, otherwise it's not a relationship, you know. And so far every single person has been like, yeah, just tell me.
Yeah, it's not weak, it's attractive.
Thank you. First, yes, it is actually very attractive for a guy to be like, hey, I had a rough day, and no, I don't necessarily need to talk about it right now, or yeah, like, let's chat about it. Like, yes, be open. So gentlemen, that's the key to this story, just be open. Okay, so most people have like been on the same wavelength as far as like once saved always saved, because that's the other question, or like that's the next question, right? But I don't know if you've ever had an experience where somebody doesn't believe that. And if you have, like, how has that kind of gone? Because I have. And so I'm just curious to see, like, what, if that's been a thing for you or not.
I haven't had that experience. And you mean specific, I'm assuming you mean specifically in a relationship, like in a dating relationship, or just like in life. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't had that experience. I think if that were to happen, we'd have to talk about it. Like, I want to know why they think that, where they get that from. You know, I know that people who hold that view often do have biblical points for that. So I'd be curious to see what that means, and we dialogue about it. But I do think that's a fundamental difference. I think that's important to be on the same page about. So,
yeah. I would agree. I would definitely agree. It's a pretty big issue as far as biblical standards. So yeah, I think like for me, that was the interesting thing, was because this person, you know, believed basically that if, you know, you did walk away for a significant amount of time, you weren't really saved. And I was like, I don't know if I agree with that. You know, but it was a great experience in the sense that I got to kind of dive in and figure out why I actually believed once saved, always saved, you know, and stuff like that. So that's why I'm curious to see like what other ladies have experienced.
Yeah.
As that, you know, is concerned. But yeah, well, it's a good thing that you haven't necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely had those conversations, and I've been a part of ministries where I realized like, oh, you don't believe. Like, you don't believe once saved, always saved. Oh, like, so I've had like interactions, like just generally, but not necessarily with someone I was dating.
Yeah. And I've had conversations too with like friends where it's like, you know, sometimes you start to question just because there's not fruit there, right? Like, you're not seeing the fruit in that person's life. And that's, you know, that's how we're supposed to judge whether somebody is a believer or not, right? And so, you know, you kind of start to question, you know, whether that person is just in a season of, you know, a struggle, or if they really actually believe what they're saying. And so I know, I can understand where some people come with or can come up to that conclusion of like, okay, well, you can technically believe you're saved, but you're not necessarily saved. And I was like, okay, I mean, you know, it's just interesting. It's a very interesting topic. So
very, yeah, yeah, totally.
When that question came through, I was like, oh, this is going to be a good one. But yeah, I'm excited to see, like, moving forward, how everybody else kind of falls on that spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, I would imagine the variety of, like, church backgrounds, religious backgrounds, experiences will really affect those answers.
Mm-hmm.
For yeah. sure. And personal experiences, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Their walk with the Lord, what they've experienced, all that kind of stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Earlier I had a really good conversation about church hurt, and I was like, oh yeah, like, it's real.
Very.
It is very real. You know, I mean, yep. I can understand, because I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, but, man,
you know, it's still just like, I guess, coming back to the point of, like, we still are the body, and we all fall short, you know? And so at what point do you stop holding on to that hurt? Because, you know, like, you can't move forward. And, you know, anyway, that's a rant that I don't need to go down.
All right.
Season of singleness, like, question has been very interesting, because there are a few of us who, like, are like, I don't understand what that, like, I guess a closed season of singleness, like, people don't sure. understand what that really entails. You know, it's, I feel like it's different than a traditional season of singleness, right? Where mm-hmm. you're just kind of mm-hmm. taking a break. So anyway, like, if you want to just kind of touch on that, like,
yeah.
what you would do and how would you go about that? If, like, a guy was like, hey, I'm interested in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think I would, kind of my rule of thumb, at least at this point in my life, my walk with the Lord, is acknowledging, like, okay, my relationship with God, what does he want? Like, ask mm-hmm. him. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that is me being simplistic, but I think if you want to know what to do, just ask God. He'll let you know. And if it's a guy who loves the Lord, he mm-hmm. will understand that you're honoring God in whatever you decide to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he doesn't, then he's not the right person. Like, you know, I think there's also some, like, maturity, like, in faith, like, your spiritual walk that has to do with that. Because I think part of the question too, like, have you ever used that as an excuse to, like, let somebody down gently? I can't even lie. Like, I don't know that I necessarily have used that as an excuse.
Right. But
there have been things I've used as an excuse to let someone down gently when I didn't want to just be honest.
Right.
And I just think some of that is just maturity. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, we do things when we're younger, or when we're inexperienced, or when we're uncomfortable, or when, you know, and I think as you grow in life, you mature, you come to learn things, you experience, you're like, oh, all right. And or as we, I don't know if you know anything about, like, attachment styles, but that's, like,
yes,
something
I've
been
do.
Like really trying to work on. And so I'm like, oh, all right. Like, understanding what anxious attachment is, and avoidant, anxious avoid, all those kinds of things. It's like, as you, my hope is that as I am working towards becoming more secure in my attachment style, I will be able to just say where I'm at and right. end that, and not have to qualify it, not have to, like, explain, like, well, I'm doing it just because of this, and I want you, you know, instead of mm-hmm. like, no, that's just what I've decided. And
yeah.
like, it really just gets to be that simple. But man, it's not like I'm, by no means do I feel like you ever arrive, or that I have arrived, by zero right. means, but I still have that natural inclination of, like, I don't want to have this hard conversation, you know?
Yeah.
But I would like to think I've grown enough, like, when presented, that I could just be honest and just say, hey, this is where I'm at. I made this commitment and I really need to pray about this. And I will let you know, like, can we circle back around and have, you know, follow up? Like, you're a really great guy. I'd love to, you know, be open to this, but I just need to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really as simple as that. So hopefully that answers.
That was a great answer. And you actually, like, brought up another subject that I'm actually personally surprised I didn't put in here because of my background. So I have a background in social work and psychology. All the attachment styles, like the Enneagram, like all the things, right? Like I know a lot about all of that and I've had to study it and
yeah.
It absolutely intrigues me. So like when you said attachment style, I was like,
mm-hmm. Yes. It's a real thing. It's like a whole other world. I'm like, I wish I knew about these things sooner. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Girl, same. Like, same. Because I'm personally, like, I'm avoidant. And so it's very difficult. I have worked to be more secure with certain people.
Yes.
But that took a lot of work. You know what I mean? Like, but with, like, new people. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny though too, because I'm also an INFJ, and so like I'm very
too.
Really? You are?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my
yes.
people.
I feel you. Oh,
so you get it. Like, you understand like how you just have to, like, we relate to everybody in a very specific way, right? And so when you have those new people come in, it's like, okay, I want to trust you, but I'm also over here in avoidantville, but like my instinct is telling me to just trust you, but you haven't earned that trust, you know? And so it's like that for me, it's warring, you know? I like mm-hmm. war with myself all the time of being like, I want to trust you because you're a cool new person and I'm an INFJ and I'm all about people. You know yes. what I mean? But then my attachment style saying, run, girl, run.
My thing was though, because I'm more anxious attached, I'm just like, I want them to like, I hope they like me. What if they, did I do enough? Mm. Okay. Maybe what can I do? You know, like it's the anxious part of that, of like it's really express itself in insecurity of mm-hmm. like, what can I do to get you to like me?
Yep.
Keep you around. Oh, did I do enough? Do you like me? You really like me? Or what else I have to do? You're great.
Yeah.
I'm great. I promise I'm great. You know, like. I'm going to like latch on to you for dear life, you know? And then they're like,
yep.
Oh my gosh, you are suffocating me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I'm problems. Sorry. It's like, sorry, not sorry. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I get really good hugs. I promise.
Yes. Oh my God. I'm such a hugger. Like, just hug me all day, every day. That's all I need.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but yeah. it's such a weird like situation to be in, you know, when you have these core parts of you battling that, because I'm like, you know, INFJ, we're also overthinkers, right?
Ugh,
and so
girl.
You know, I do the it same thing. I'm all
never
like, oh,
shuts
my God.
Off up here.
Ever, not even when I'm sleeping.
No, I mean, amen. I pray. I talk to God in my dreams. I pray in my. I mean, it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't understand why my brain does this.
Uh-huh.
You know, but then again, I do because I've studied it. But you know what I mean? It's just like,
yes,
you're
yes.
in that moment of like an overthinking pattern and you're like thinking about something that happened 5 years ago that
oh
doesn't even
gosh.
Matter anymore.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm just like, I'm like, yep, you said it. Great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We get each other now.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my gosh. Wow.
So hi, new BFF.
No, seriously. That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now I'm even more comfortable because we get each other. So we're good.
Yeah.
It's been so funny being an INFJ. Well, I technically am like more an omnivore, but whatever. So, but I lean towards the I, right? And so doing this has been like, oh my God, why did I do this to myself? You know, especially as soon as like all the appointments started coming in. And
yeah,
I'm like,
I can't even imagine what your calendar
was. This was a bad idea. But I'm so excited though, because again,
yes.
the people person
people
in me.
And yes. like people's stories and mm-hmm. like taking time to like make them feel known. And oh my
yep.
gosh, yes. Oh
yep.
my gosh.
INFJ moment. Let's move along. Okay. Yes. To the hugs. It's funny when that question came through, I was like, do people really just not ask for hugs? Cause I mean,
yeah.
I'm an autumn. I mean, I guess I technically had to learn to ask for them from certain people, but those are usually the people that aren't physical touch, right? Like, that's not their love language.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? But like, when people
use some discernment there.
Yeah, exactly. But like, when it's somebody that's a physical touch person also, or they're not necessarily high on physical touch, but they don't care, I don't even ask. Like, I just like assume the position, you know, like, hug me. Anyway, I just thought it was a good question, though, also because I'm like, this person must not be a physical touch person. Or
I almost wonder if the concern was more like as a male asking a female.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess,
like,
that's true. Yeah,
or even just males in general in physical touch. Like, if they're gonna ask another male, that's awkward, right? But then as a asking a female, wanting to ask that in a way that's not like, "Hey, can you give me a hug?" Right? Or like not being super awkward. But I think in my response, part of what I was drawing attention to is like, you need to make sure you're aware of your level of relationship with this person. Like, if you don't really know this person that well, like, maybe don't, you know, like, if you know that they're not a physical touch person, maybe don't ask them. But if it's someone that's like someone you know well and that you're friends with, that you know, just, again, be real. And if they're weird about it, then like, you're not the one that made it weird. Like, they made it weird when they were all like, you know, however they respond. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, that's not you. That's them. Like, that's their stuff. They have to work out. Right. So just.
Yeah. That's very.
This is weird. Yeah. That'd be weird. But can I get a hug? Like, okay.
Yeah. Just ask. Like, I don't know. I think it's a great question, but that is a good point. Like, with male to female. And so maybe that, I don't know, because I don't know who this person is. So I'm kind of like, now I'm wondering, since we've been chatting about it, if it's like a purity culture thing.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know,
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could totally see that.
Yeah. Because I don't know.
And also just guys not wanting to give women like wrong impressions, right?
Yeah, it's that,
like,
too. Yeah,
you know, like, so many times guys are like, I was trying to be nice and now she's like got a crush on me, or now I don't want to give her the wrong impression if I'm really just trying to like have a conversation, and then like she walks away and she thinks that like we're getting married, you know. So it's like, I mean, I, you know, we all have issues, right? But I can imagine for a guy that is a challenge as well, right? Like, they're not wanting to give any kind of sense, like, wrong, give like wrong vibes out there, like, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's a great point.
Asking for a hug, huh? He just really wants to be close to me, you know, because girls, come on, you know, girls are like that.
yes we are.
<I'm gonna lie.
laughs> Oh, that's such a good point though, and I didn't think about it from that like point of view, so I'm glad you said that. I don't know, like, the whole purity culture thing is like side hugs, you know, and I'm like, ew, that just, no. You're gonna hug me, dang it. Like,
yeah, like, I get that
pat thing, like, what was that? Like, I maybe that's because I'm a physical touch person, so like, that just seems like very fake. I don't know, maybe that's,
no, I get you.
Yeah.
And then depending too, you're like, it's the word. You're, I don't know if position, maybe role, ministry, for example. You know, if you're in, I remember like I dated a guy who he was in ministry and I really struggled because I felt like he was, we went on like 3 dates and I felt like he wasn't like showing physical affection at all. Like, not even like holding my hand or like touching me on the shoulder, like just things like that. And I was trying to do the same, but I just was like, is he just not attracted to me? Or like, which he ended up saying he was, right? So it wasn't that. And I honestly think it was just like, he's been in ministry spaces. He's in leadership positions at his church. Like, he's like, I would wonder, that would be an interesting question, like, for men in those roles, if they have to kind of figure out how to make the switch. Just like, as much as like I have to be intentional about getting out of my head before a date, because if I've been in work mode all day long, I'm gonna treat my date like a job, and I need to get in my body, I need to be present, I need to all of that stuff, right? And I wonder for guys like that who may be in roles like that, where ministry is a little bit more life, like a lifestyle, right? If it's a hard switch to make. I don't know. Now I'm just rambling.
No, but that's a great question. Okay, so guys, if you're in full-time ministry and you're listening to this, answer that question for us. Like, is it difficult for you to make that switch between like a ministry situation and a dating situation, or is it not? Because now I'm really curious. So
yeah,
I want to know. Answer us. Let me know. Reach out to my social media. Okay. Because that's such a good point. Again, like, we think differently, right? Which is the whole point of Bob's series and the whole point of mine. And like, I would have never even thought of that being like
an issue. And I feel like he was trying to be so respectful, and I really appreciated that. By no means was I was like, I wasn't trying to be like, you know, be really touchy with me, but like, yeah. And I get it too. Like, the woman has to show to some degree that she would be interested in that, right? Like, if you got to give him like some touch, like if I touch you on the shoulder, or if I'm like, you know, enough to kind of signal like, oh, if I reciprocated, that wouldn't be weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think he was very, it seemed like he was very conscious of how he was towards me. Anyway.
Yeah. Again, what you said is like a good thing. It's just, where's that line, I guess? It's kind of, you know, what does that look like?
I'm a physical touch person too. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay. So.
Do you not really like me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just like, oh my gosh, no. Like,
yeah.
So.
I mean, yeah. such a good thing though. Like, yeah. See, another good point to come out of this already, and that wasn't even close to something I was thinking about. So sweet. Okay, so every single woman, again, so far has said they don't use fake pictures. So, but I think that we've had conversations about this already, like with the other ladies. So I'm going to ask you this. Like, do you think that that kind of line of questioning is coming more from like a secular culture, like mindset? Not that he is in that mindset. I'm just
sure,
saying like,
yeah,
that it, you know, kind of points to more of the secular involvement, I guess, in like Christian dating, air quoting there. you know, or do you think it's just like a cultural thing, period, I guess?
It's a good question. The first thing I thought when I heard the question or the line of questioning, this is to sound dramatic, I was just like, who hurt you? Like, I felt like, honestly, the first, like, I was just like, dude, okay. Because I was like, I feel like this is coming from a place of hurt that you have felt misled by women. And I am not going to discount if that has happened to this person, because they might have been. But I just was like, I felt like a quick, like, defense mechanism within me. And I had to catch that, because I was like, that's not every woman. You can't generalize to every woman, you know? but to be fair, I do agree that the filters are real. Christian and non-Christian alike, it's a thing. I might just be a little old school and above a certain age. And so for me, filters came a little bit later in life, and I just can't, I don't want to learn how to do them. Like, it's just too much work to figure that out. So that's also why I don't use filters. But I'm like, that's just another step I can't figure out. So you're going to see me like, anyway, so here I am. Take or leave me.
Yeah.
But I wonder if it is cultural, like to a degree, like not like, like secular, I don't know, culture. Wonder if that's some of it. I wonder if it's generational too, honestly.
Ooh.
Like, I think with all due respect, when you're on, dating apps and you see certain guys of a certain age and their pictures, like you can kind of tell that they're a certain age, because they, you know, that they probably don't get on social media. They don't know how to, because like, they didn't grow up with it. Like there's obviously a shift in technology and social media and social media, like all that kind of stuff at a certain point. And there was just like, there's people that kind of didn't catch that boat. And so I almost wonder if there's some truth to that for women. Like if you would find, and I don't want to, again, I'm trying not to generalize, but if you would find like younger women, like do more filters and more of the fun backdrops and the whatever than somebody maybe like in their 30s or mid to late 30s or I don't know. I would wonder that.
Yeah. And I mean, so the majority of the women that I've gotten so far, right, are from the 824 group. And so we're all 30 and up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's the other thing that I think is kind of interesting, that everybody that I've interviewed so far or everybody that I've gotten their responses from so far have said basically the same thing. Like, I don't use fake photos. And so that's a good point, though, that we're all 30 and up, you know? And so I'm kind of curious if I should find somebody that's younger and just kind of see, like, just to...
I'm just trying to be very politically correct, but yeah. I just feel like there's a certain type of person that uses filters like that. I'm trying to choose my words here because I also think we're trying to attract somebody, right? Like,
right.
You only have a couple seconds to attract someone on a dating app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want them to stop at their picture. And it's often said that men are very visual. Women are too, for the record.
Yes.
I get so annoyed when, okay, that's another soapbox. Okay.
Anyway. We'll jump back into that one because I agree. Oh, we'll continue.
I'm really frustrated. But I just think that, like, though it's frustrating because, like, I don't want to say women like me, but the one who's not using the like fancy whatever, we're not getting as many matches, right? So would I kind of challenge the guys on that? Like, are you also just kind of looking for this girl that's filled, like, have you, whether indirectly, kind of bought into some of the, you know, standards of beauty that you know what I mean? Like, if your like best girlfriend or sister was swiping with you, was looking at profiles with you, and you're swiping and she's like, you know, that's filtered, right? You know, that's filtered, right? Like, would they be like, what? Nuh-uh. Like, do they even know how to recognize that, you know? Because we can, and we could probably be like, dude, what were you expecting? Did you really think that was a real picture? Like,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, you know? So I don't know. That's something that I wonder, that I kind of thought too. It's like, not to put it all on the guy, but there's, I'm just saying there's two sides, right? Like,
right.
Just as much as women need to be aware of how they're coming across. Like, don't overlook the ones of us who are actually, like, trying to be, like, legitimate and, like, put out, like, who we are, right? And don't, oh, those pictures look boring. Well, chances are, if they look simple and to the point, that's actually a real picture.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Amen. It's so funny that you said that, because, like, I literally believe that the only reason I get some matches is because of this. Because of my hair, because that's what catches their eye, right? Which, that's not why I do my hair like this. I just happen to love the color and I want to rock it. You know, like, I wish God made me a true ginger, but he just gave me auburn hair. And so I just like to accentuate the red.
It's a real thing.
You know,
it's so true. I mean, when I wear my, and hair is a whole other conversation, especially for women of color. Oh my
God. Yeah.
But like, I get way more matches when my pictures are with me with long hair. I mean, every time when I have like my curly natural hair, nope, not so much. And it's just a thing. And I don't even think it's an intentional thing. I think there is, again, there's like kind of indirect things that we've been taught in culture, like what a standard of beauty is. And again, it may not even be an intentional, like, I'm only choosing women who look like this. I think there's something that kind of has been learned that we have to like unlearn, right? Like looking beyond just some of those things. And I know I'm guilty of it. I'll be like, oh, well, if I'll do my hair like that more, you know, never mind that it's processing my hair and, you know, damaging it and whatever else, all in the name of getting someone to swipe on me. Like, how about I just do what I feel comfortable doing? Like you said, like, you wear your hair like that because you like it.
Yeah,
and you exactly. Feel good.
I do. I like, I literally just got it redone today. And so I'm like, I feel like me again.
Yeah, it's so good.
You know, it's like, I love I love it. But like my girl is really good at like not over processing my hair, you know? So like that's nice.
Yeah.
Because like I was worried about the, you know, cause chemicals are so bad for your hair, you know, but like during COVID I went back natural.
Oh,
it was so hard. Like, but at the same time, I liked it because I'm like, oh yeah, this is what my natural hair color really looks like. But again, it was weird. It didn't feel like me. Like, yeah. I don't, you know what I mean?
Yep,
like,
I got you.
I'm just more confident with my hair like this. And I feel like I'm more me, the true me, like when I'm with my hair like this. And, you know, my guy will like it because it's not going away.
Yes. Yes.
But anyway, so I wanted to point that out though, because you said that about like getting, you know, what are they looking for? And I think my hair, because I, right after I get it done, I kid you not, every time I go out, guys, women, like, it doesn't matter, kids, oh my God, your hair looks so great. And I'm like, thank you. My INFJ like freaks out, right? Because I'm like, that's not really why I'm having my hair like this, but thanks for the attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, but it's just, I know it's an eye catcher, but again, it's not why I do it. And so, but I have had guys tell me, oh, you're just looking for attention by dyeing your hair. And I'm like, no.
Well, thank you for telling me how I feel.
Thank you. Appreciate yes, exactly. That. Yeah. I'm like, are you in here? No, you're not in here.
And I was like, you're a better judge of myself than myself. good. Good to know.
Yeah. Thank you for telling me that. But anyway, it just... I still think that this is a good question because it does bring up the point of like, what are we looking at? Because I do it too. Like I am attracted to very specific guys. But then if you look at my dating history, like literally one guy's way over here and the other one's way over here.
Same.
You know, and it's like, just because I have preferences doesn't mean that's who I'm going to actually end up being interested in, because I'm a personality girl. Like if you have a great personality, your looks end up going way up here for me because I'm more attracted to your personality. But yeah, society has told me, hey, this guy over here is really attractive. And I'm like, yeah, he is. But that still doesn't mean that I'm going to end up with him.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Women being visual.
Yes. Yes. Let's chat about that because I agree. I don't know if you've heard of the book, but I've been reading The Great Sex Rescue.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I know what you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. I'm like, thank you for putting this stuff out there because it needs to be talked about.
Very good. Yeah.
It's so good. And like, and they touch on, you know, all the things that like usually get lumped into a guy's only issue. And I'm like, but it's not. So anyway, like if you want to camp there for a few minutes, I'm all for the rant. So let's go.
Sure. Yeah. No, I just, and I have like a girls chat that I'm a part of on Facebook too. And it's been really encouraging to chat with other women who feel the same way. I'm like, okay, I'm not crazy. Yeah, I just think I think there's just there's often this expectation that women will overlook looks. And well, if he's got a good personality, like attraction can grow. And it can. I completely agree. But let's be real. If we want to even be, I don't know if this is too, what's the word? Explicit, but you got to have sex with that person. Okay. So there's
not too explicit. Go for it.
There's got to be attraction. There has to be something to go off of. So, but I just feel, especially as you get older, there's a sense of like, well, I mean, he's all right though, right? You know, and it's like, yeah, I think there's definitely a place for being open. And I have evaluated that, prayed about that in my own life where I'm like, okay, am I elevating looks? Like, is this, if I'm putting this in a place like way higher than it should be? Then, you know, I can be aware of times when I've done that, but also like, I know that's something that matters. And so it's okay if that matters to me. I shouldn't be forcing something just because, well, I mean, time's running out and I guess I should just, you know, it's like, no. And that's also not fair to the guy. For me to be pretending that I'm into something that I'm not. And it's like, I've really I've been in situations where I've like really tried, where I've been really frustrated because I'm like, this guy's really a nice guy. Like, mm-hmm. he loves Jesus. He's like all these things. He's not ugly. You know, he's not unattractive. I'm just not feeling it. Like, mm-hmm. when I realized that we were on date like 3 or 4 or something, and the thought of him going to reach over and grab my hand, I thought I would laugh, or I thought I would be like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. When I realized that that's how I would respond, I was like, uh-oh. Like, it's just like, I'm not attracted, you know? And it had nothing to, like, he's a really nice man, right? I just mm-hmm. was like, I'm forcing this because I think I should. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to him. But yeah, I know I had a friend who said a guy like had made a comment to her along the lines of like, yeah, when a woman says that she's just not attracted, like what? It's almost like she's lying, or like, you know, women aren't as visual as men, and like it's if it's something else, she just needs to be honest about that, you know. She's just like, wait, like, no, like, if I'm not attracted, like, that's a really important part of it.
Yeah.
Like, so I just, it's frustrating to feel like I have to potentially settle or compromise, but a guy can be visual. It's okay though. It's okay if we are trying to, like, it's okay if the guy is like, oh, like, that's a factor for me. Mm-hmm. We accept that all day. But if a woman wants attraction to be a factor, she's being shallow. She really needs to compromise and think about this and let attraction grow. Why doesn't the guy let attraction grow with the women? Like, why? Mm-hmm. That's why on that other question, that's why that kind of hit a nerve a little bit. Because I'm like, guys, like, what are you attracted to? Mm. Like, what are you allowing yourself to see as a standard of beauty? Like, we all got to account for that. You know, mm-hmm. got to give yeah. some allowance for the fact that the visuals really do make a difference mm-hmm. for men and for women. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, it's a challenge. Like,
I'm just going to let you roll with this one because, yes, sorry. No, don't apologize. Stop being an INFJ. Okay. right. But I agree though. And even though like I tend to be more attracted to personality, but again, there are certain types of guys that I just see and I'm like, oh, my Lanta. You know what I mean? But it's, to me, it doesn't come down to that, but that's just because my like preferences, air quoting, you know, are literally like across the board. You know, like I have dated like an athlete, and then I've also dated somebody that would be considered to have a dad bod. You know what I mean? And so mm-hmm.
yeah,
it's just like, okay. And then I've also dated from like 5'6", which is barely taller than me, all the way up to 6'2". So you know what I yeah. mean? Like I yep. just yep. so these kinds of questions, like where while I get where they're coming from, do frustrate me too, because it's like still the majority of women overall literally have a range of attraction, yeah. right? Yes. Like it's not yes. just they're looking for 6 foot, they're looking for 6 figures, and they're looking for 6 packs. Like that's not, we all know that's not realistic.
No,
you know, and nothing against the women who that's what they want. Like, yeah. okay, cool. That's you, boo. Like, if that's what you're attracted to and that's what you want, great. But let's stop overgeneralizing everybody else, you know? Yeah. And the same thing goes for us as women, like overgeneralizing guys in various ways. But still, it's just if they want us to, you know, basically give them a chance. Right. It's like, well, give us real girls a chance too.
Yes.
You know, or real women.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also just give the allowance for a woman to have attraction be a factor. Like, it's okay. I don't think it should be paramount, but my gosh, like, mm-hmm. it's okay to want to feel a spark, an attraction mm-hmm. to somebody. My poor friend who's like, you know, she's out here, she's in her late 30s trying to make it work, and she was telling me about a friend that set her up on a blind date with someone, or not a blind date, but just like wants to set her up And I was like, oh, that's cool. And she's like, yeah, but can I just be honest? I don't think I'm really attracted to him. And she's like, I feel like I'm just giving him a chance because it was my, like, my friend suggested, but I'm like not attracted to him at all. And she's like, I'm tired of going out on dates with guys I'm not attracted to. And I was just like, that's so real. Like, but we would never say that to a guy. He would be like, oh, not attracted. So I'm just, you know, but like, meanwhile, girls are like, oh, I'm not attracted to him really, but I guess we'll see. Like, I just, that, how does that
work? I don't know.
How does it work?
It's called
something. Yeah. It's going to be something. He doesn't got to be a bodybuilder, you know, whatever. I don't need all that. But, you know, like, personality can make someone more attractive for sure. But I just think it's important to have a little something that gets you interested. Physically.
Yeah, exactly. Because like you said, you eventually will be having sex with them. So it's like, you gotta just...
Like, we really want to go there. I mean, sure, you're not doing that on the first date. You're not doing that when you're married, whatever. But
still.
You know, it's just like, if you're going to hold my hand and I'm like, you know, like... That's a problem, you know? Like,
yeah, if it doesn't feel comfortable, like, in the first few dates, even semi-physically, like, even with just holding hands, like, you're not going to probably get there. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps you've got to go to before you get to sexual, you know, like, relations and stuff. Like, you got to start somewhere. And if you're not even willing to do that, that's a good indicator.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, if you're not excited to hold the guy's hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You might want to move on. Okay. Hang on. So I'm reading your biggest struggle in the dating community. So hang on. Okay. Yeah. No, we're going to touch on this one because I have, I have a lot of feelings about this particular topic too. So do you remember like exactly what you said or?
Yeah. If I remember correctly, that was about like having children. Mm-hmm. Was that? Yeah.
So you said, I would say my biggest struggle is worrying about a man's desire for children. It seems that men are becoming more specific about the age of women and thinking that a woman past a certain age doesn't want kids. So if they want kids, they won't pursue those women. I don't think that's true. Amen. I think a lot of women in the later age bracket still very much desire children and are doing everything in their power to prepare for that possibility and put themselves in the best place to. The truth is that that no one is guaranteed kids at any age. Also, amen. I struggle with feeling like I am overlooked because I am not at a certain age. This is hard not to believe when you see other women who are younger than you seeming to be chosen.
Yes, I think this also comes in. I feel like I see this very much in Christian culture more than anything. I'm not completely sure how much this is a reality outside of Christian culture. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe it's just because I'm in a lot of Christian circles and Christian like singles groups online and stuff. But some of the comments and things I've heard men say in those circles are really harsh. Really insensitive, and it's really sad because in a lot of those groups they're primarily women. And so you would think maybe you'd be try to be a little bit more sensitive in those spaces to places where a lot of women are, because we know the realities. We know, like, biologically there are very real things, you know, about age and fertility and all of that. It's just, it is what it is. So act with some sensitivity because trust me, we are aware. We are very aware. Now, the truth is that maybe after a certain age, we're talking about one or two kids instead of five or six, right? So I think there's some, and when I say that, I mean biologically. So there's probably some realities there, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, you can't try to have five or six kids, right?
But
realistically, you know, as you get older, you're probably not going to shoot for as many kids. But I know a lot of women who it's still very much the desire of their heart to be a mom. Some who are really grappling with maybe I want to be a mom, but I don't want to be married. Mm. It's just really real conversations. Mm-hmm. It's things that I've wrestled with and am still wrestling with, because yeah. I do feel like being a mom is really important to me. But it can feel really disheartening when it seems like the men I have to choose from are not open to me. Mm-hmm. So then what am I left to do? Find other ways, I guess. Mm-hmm. Do I think there's anything wrong with being a single mom? No. And choosing that? No. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's necessarily what God designed and intended? No, it's not. And I really hope people aren't mad at me for saying that. But that isn't God's design, you know?
Right.
He wants a family with a mom and a dad, right? So mm-hmm. it's a hard, very nuanced conversation that deserves sensitivity and consideration of all the parties involved.
Yes.
So I would just say to Ben, just be kind. Listen. Don't make assumptions. Ask questions before you just make comments, because mm-hmm. people are watching and listening to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You don't think, you're like, oh, I'm just behind this computer, I'm just gonna say. People really see what you write, and those things really stick with you. They hear what you say, mm-hmm. and they really color your opinion. Mm-hmm. As much as I try not to generalize, like I really try not to generalize, but it is so hard not to when that's what you're seeing. Right. So, and yeah, again, like can't assume that just because you're a certain age, you don't want kids anymore. Right. And to be honest, for me, like I grew up in a culturally diverse family and background. And so I saw a lot of women getting married, or not getting married, having kids later. And so I kind of grew up seeing that and feeling encouraged by that. Like, oh, and then it's almost like I didn't know that I should be worried about that until I started approaching my 30s. And I was like, oh, wait, people really like, wow. And it's just like, and then on top of that, like being a believer, like I'm not idealistic, but I also am like, didn't we also believe that God's sovereign and in control, and like
right.
he's the one who gives life. So like at any age, we're just trusting that he would allow that to happen. There are people who have fertility struggles in their 20s. Like no one's guaranteed, but just to even have to find somebody who would say, hey, like come what may, like let's pursue this option for biological kids. And if it doesn't happen for us, then it doesn't. But I would rather to find somebody who would be open to it, and also be open to the possibility that it might not happen.
Right.
And that's the part that's really challenging, because I feel like there's some men who've been very like specific of like, well, I want kids, so. And it's like, and by that, they mean biological kids. So the option is like, oh, well, what about adopting? Or, well, I don't know about that. It's like, okay, I'm not saying that's going to be the only option that we have. However, the reality is that it could be. Mm-hmm. Then you just say, well, sorry. It's not to say I wouldn't want to try, right? Like, yeah. I would want to. And I want somebody who would be open to that, but also who would say, okay, like, what are other ways to have children? So that's just like a very real issue that I just wish there could be more dialogue about, and less, I guess it doesn't feel like dialogue is happening. It just feels like one side saying very strongly how they feel, and then the other side just having to take it. So I said that. Ooh, gosh.
You went there.
Hi, everyone. Oh, some of you know my voice. It's cool. It's cool.
It's fine. It's fine. You're being real. And that's the important part.
I mean, it really is. I mean, I would say this to anybody. It's, you know, in jest, I say that. But it's just, it's how I feel. It's true. I mean, it's what it seems like. And again, ask questions, approach conversations with curiosity. Don't tell somebody how they feel or how it is. Well, the numbers say this and the, you know, statistics say this. And I'm like, we know. I'm going to tell you right now, more than anybody else, more than you, especially male, we know.
Mm-hmm.
We really know. We're reminded all the time. At least once a month, we're reminded. And so it's kind of like we're aware of how things are going.
Yes.
And realities for that. So sensitivity, curiosity, just kindness, mm-hmm. general basic human decency and kindness would be appreciated.
Right. And don't assume. Don't assume.
No assumptions, please.
Yes. I love that you said that, though, because all of that. But I've had I grew up differently. I had a very different experience where it was very much ingrained in me that you need to get married young and you need to have kids young. And mm-hmm. so when that didn't happen, mm-hmm. you know, it was like this big, huge thing. Like, I still have family members that constantly question me. And, you know, they're like, well, still, why aren't you married? Like, you know, your biological clock's ticking, right? And it's a whole thing. So, like, it's interesting just to know that you had a different upbringing as far as that is concerned. But, mm-hmm. like, it's still, we know, like you said, we know. Every freaking month, we are reminded that our biological clock is ticking, uh-huh. you know? But again, like, I was told by multiple people that I should just, you know, figure out how to save my eggs, right? Yeah. And I'm like,
because that's just so cheap and such an easy process.
Yeah. Because I have all the money for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like on the flip side of that, I've had to come to the like exception that I serve a sovereign God. Like you said, like he is the author of time. And like, if you look at all the Old Testament, every single one of them were having children really late in age. Granted, I don't want to have a child at 50, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes,
it's still possible. Like I'm 33, like I will be 34 this year, but you know, so I still have quote time, but still, again, because of how I was raised, like it was very, it's every year on my birthday that I'm still single and not a mother. The thought is in the back of my head. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, I don't understand why it's such a thing. Because if you've read the Bible, you know that God can literally do anything he wants. So if you're meant to have kids in an older age, you're going to have kids at an older age. So that doesn't have, I mean, it has weight, yes, but it doesn't have weight at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, because like, where's your faith? you know, and again, like not everybody is going to be able to have children because 1 in 4 women have fertility issues. Okay. That's a topic that doesn't get talked about enough either, you know? And so it literally sends me from 0 to 100, not 0 to 60, 0 to 100. When I see a man or hear a man say, oh, I don't want to adopt. And I'm like, so what happens if you marry one of the 1 in 4? What are you going to do?
Not to mention, what happens if you, male, have fertility issues as well? Mm-hmm. Because it is not, contrary to popular belief, it is not always on the woman.
Yep.
Yep. It does take two.
It does. So,
I mean, one of my friends, dear couple, had a really long time struggle with fertility, and they have 2 kids now, but it was, the issue was her husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the equation too, buddy. It's not just us, you know?
Yep.
Like, so you've got to like take it all into consideration, like just be kind, like, mm-hmm. you know, be kind.
Just be kind. Yep. Agreed. Okay, well, I'm glad we talked about that because that was super good.
Yeah.
I feel like more men need to hear women actually talking about it because it is such a taboo subject. You know, it's like fertility in general is a taboo subject and it's ridiculous. And, you know, I mean, I'm all about talking about the taboo subjects. And I just bring them on because if we don't talk about them, you know, you're never going to get anywhere.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink.
If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anepiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.